the Six Out Culture Podcast. Today I'm joined by Danny and Richard. Boys, how's it going?
It's going great, Ansel.
Going great.
Yeah, it's good for all three of us, and I'm sure many other fans of the top six / top eight. Every big team won, literally every single one. So not much drama, I guess you'd say, in terms of scoreline, but plenty of drama in terms of in-game action, red cards. I'm just going to say Radu, period, and we'll get into that later. I'm not going to go much more into that one until later on. But, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. It was great to make an espresso, sit down, and watch games all day, all weekend. It was about time. And, yeah, no, I enjoyed all the matches. There was a lot of fun ones. Lots of goals, which I think we've seen as a trend now the last couple of years. And I said, yeah, the scoring keeps getting higher and higher each season. So you can see that the game is becoming more modern in Italy as well as you know, other leagues. So I guess we'll get into it, and we can start off with just a simple question, boys. What game did you enjoy the most? For me, it's tough. Games had different things I liked about it. You know, there was like the intro one, obviously, the last-minute winner. The game as a whole wasn't the best, though. And there's a Fiorentina one, which I enjoyed, but that late winner leaves a sour taste in my mouth the way it went down. Yeah. That kind of ruined the match. Napoli, if you like goals, that's a great one. Milan, too, if you like goals, is another great one. Lazio, Bologna, if you like intense games, I guess you can go with that one. A lot of fighting. Juve, if you like, you know, just beautiful link-up play. I thought Vlahovic and Di Maria played really well together. That was a fun one to watch. Salernitana, Roma, if you want to see a lot of dribbling past four or five guys, just to watch Zaniolo in that game. I don't know, it depends. For me, I'll probably go with, I'm going to go with Milan Udinese. I just like how there's a lot of back and forth, you know, taking turns scoring, lots of the lead changes. And although Udinese's defense was horrific, and I think it's the first game we're talking about, so we'll get into that soon. I'll go with Milan Udinese. How about you, Dan?
Yeah, okay. By society, I think I would go with Milan Udinese just because it was the first game of the season. And what a way to kick it off, like the first game of the Serie A. And what a way to kick it off. It was intensity first half, second half throughout the game. It was just a very intense game, and I thought it was a very entertaining game to kick off the Serie A campaign.
Yeah, no, I think the Milan-Udinese was a great game, but for me, if I'm not picking Juve, I have to go with that Fiorentina game. I just like it was back and forth, and I feel like Cremonese put up a huge fight until save Fiorentina. But other than that, like, it was a very back and forth game, and you never knew which way it was going to go.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of picks that could have been made. It was a great weekend, very entertaining one for good and wrong reasons. Some interesting moments. But yeah, we brought up Milan Udinese. That's the first game we'll get into. It kicked off the Serie A. Obviously, the champions get the honor to start the season off. Udinese is a pretty tough team. They're not a team you'll walk over like you used to be able to. And they showed that early on, at least. I guess, yeah, we'll start off where Becali got an early lead. Great header, great corner from De La Feu, near post. Good start to the game for them. I feel like Becali almost always scores on Milan. I feel like it's a trend now. Scores them quite often. And that didn't change this time. And I feel like that goal early on changed the tempo of the game pretty quick. I feel like they would have felt each other out for longer, but since Udinese got a pretty early lead, I feel like Milan turned up the tempo a little bit more and made the game more interesting. So I'm thankful for that goal, at least early on, for the neutrals. They made the game a lot more interesting. And, then Milan got a pen. And before I continue, I want to hear your guys' thoughts on the pen. Do you think it was a pen? I personally do not think it was a pen.
I don't think it is.
Like, not a chance. I know there's a lot of debate. I don't think it was. I thought he got the ball. Early on, I thought he got the ball first before he went to Calabria. But you know, Serie A, when I don't think they look at where the ball is no more. I think if they look at there's contact with the leg and ball, most of the time they're gonna call it. But I don't think it was a penalty, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think it was a pen at all. You know, not to throw any shade here, but I feel like Milan got a lot of the benefit of the doubt last year when it came to pens that were 50-50. They got a couple favors there. I don't think, obviously, I'm not saying there's match fixing, but just turned out that they got some favors last season on the penalty sides of things. But no, yeah, I don't think it was a penalty. And even if he didn't get the ball, you can say, I still think it was a 50-50 ball that both players slid into each other. So I don't see, like, in my opinion, it should have been nothing, like, just play on. It was a rebound. They both went for it. Nobody had possession of the ball, which means no one got tackled. They both dove in to each other. So, yeah, to me, that's just a play on call and then to go on from there. But, yeah, they did get the penalty. Got rewarded. And Tail put it away to tie it up. And, yeah, Joe Rogers, don't think that was a penalty. But, you know, everyone else can have a different opinion on that. I can see why maybe you think it was a pen. But, yeah, we could go all day on that. And then moving on, Rebic got himself a nice, tidy finish in the center of the box after a great cross from Calabria, who I thought had a pretty good game. He's very active, getting involved in both defensively and offensively. And, yeah, Udinese's man marking was not the best in that situation. It was pretty awful throughout the match, if I'm being honest. And then right before the end of the half, Massina scored an incredible diving header. I don't know how he got to that. And Pereira put a great ball in with over the top to him. And, yeah, great finish. It's a tough one to get there. So, yeah, credit to Massina there for the finish. And then second half starts, and Milan get the lead. That's what I mean. That's why I picked this match. It was so back and forth. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, second half starts, and Milan got the lead very early on. Udinese had a lot of confusion there. It was a nice cross from Teo, and then I don't know what happened. It bounced off whose head, maybe Bacala, someone. It was a lot of mess there. Nobody knew where the ball was. It fell right to Diaz, who had a pretty easy finish for himself there to put it in and get the lead, which was, I don't know, fair enough, I guess. A good positioning from Diaz to be there. And then Pereira, here's what I mean when I was talking about just embarrassing moments in this match day. This is one of them. Pereira, I don't know what he did there. He held onto the ball for too long. He got it, almost got it stolen, but he kept it. And then he had another chance to clear it, where he had a good maybe 2-3 seconds, which could have blasted out to the side or for anything, just not held on to it at least. And he held on to it, and Diaz took it from him, played Rebic in, easy 4-2 goal, game's over, just like that. I don't know what Pereira was thinking there, just holding on to the ball for way too long, and gifted Milan another goal. So most of the goals were gifted, but you also have to give credit to Milan for being opportunists and making the best of the situations that presented themselves. So credit to Milan. I think they played amazing. I didn't think they played incredibly well. I thought Udinese made a lot of mistakes. But that's what champions do, man. You find ways to win. And credit to Diaz and Rebic. They got left out of the team a lot last year, kind of outcasts. And they had a lot to prove coming into this game, and they both did really well. So credit to Diaz and Rebic. Dan, what did you think about the match?
Yeah, no, it was a very entertaining game between 1-0 Udinese in the first couple minutes with Pacal's header. Seems like he always scores against Milan. I don't know what it is about this fixture, but he always seems to score against them. But then Milan kept their composure. Got the 2-1 lead off of a Teo Hernandez penalty and a beautiful header, like you said, ends by Rebic. Great cross by Calabria, who I also thought he had a strong game. I felt like he was probably, him and Rebic were probably the two best players for Milan this year, this game. And then all of a sudden, I remember hearing the commentary and going, oh, it looks like Milan about to have a 2-1 lead heading into the half. Next second later, a header by Messina out of nowhere ties it up at half, but then floodgates open for Udinese. I felt like once Milan got that third goal, they looked lost all over the park. Especially defensively, they were out of sorts. I thought Perez was going to have a better game. I talked about him a few weeks ago, saying he's going to have a strong season, but against Milan, he looked lost. The back line was just lost, and Silvestri couldn't do much. He was left out to dry a lot of times. And then Pereira, poor giveaway again to Diaz, and then found Rebic to play zone 4-2. But this was the story of Milan, even last year. They just, even when the chips were down, they found ways to win. And this is why they were champions. So if they can continue to do this, they could be in contention for another Scudetto. It was a great way to start off the season for Milan, especially as there's a lot of obstacles to overcome, especially Udinese taking the early lead, blowing the 2-1 lead right before half. You would think Udinese would take that and use that to give them momentum into the second half, but it seems like Milan, they were the better side. They were the better side in the second half, and this is why they ended up winning the league last year, and it's a good way to kick off their season.
Yeah, no, very well said. I think, like Enzo and Danny said, this game was a very close game, but Milan were just a better team. With Udinese did put up a good fight, but ultimately Milan put away those chances when Udinese messed up and they capitalized. And just like Danny said, that's what champions have to do. You have to capitalize on your opponent's mistakes, and that's how you win games and win titles. I want to say good praise for Rebic. I think he was fantastic this game. Last season he was good. This season he looks even better, so it's going to be interesting to see how he forms under Pioli and how he forms with the rest of the team, and if he could continue this goal-scoring run that he has. And then the new signing, when he came on, he looked very promising, very agile, very quick for such a tall guy, Charles. I was very impressed by him. So let's see if he's going to get more minutes and how he's going to slot into the starting 11 for Milan. But overall, the attack was very fluid, very good. And like Enzo said previously, the defense was very shaky, but I feel like that's normal this part in the season with a lot of teams. I think every game I'm going to talk about how the defense was shaky and how they weren't up to par. Same with Udinese, and both sides of the defense were just shaky and making mistakes that they shouldn't be making. But as the season goes on, I feel like they'll sharpen up their skills, and we'll see a much defined Milan in the coming weeks.
Yeah, well said. And shout out to CDK and Origi for making their debut.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, CDK played. Yeah, did well. Big guy. Pretty agile for his size. And excited to see what he can do. And yeah, I think Rebic, I could be wrong, I'm pretty sure he scored 2 goals last season. Had 2
yeah.
Today, so
yeah.
Tied the tally.
Yeah, so like he's definitely improved and evolved. And we'll see how he continues this rest of the season.
Yeah, we'll see how we can build off this. And yeah, good win for Milan to start off the year. Atalanta, Samp, there wasn't a crazy amount that went on in this game. Samp are a pretty broken team, in my opinion. I think as the years go on, we're seeing...
It just got worse and worse.
And switching managers every week and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, they used to be a team, I just remember like 5 years ago, where you play Samp at the Luigi Ferraris, and you're like, oh my God, here we go. A rainy night in Genoa against a tough team that's annoying to beat. They'd always steal points from big teams. Now they're slowly becoming a team where you just get excited to play and just roll over them almost every time. They're not much of a challenge anymore for most teams. And, yeah, it's kind of sad to see. And I won't be shocked if, you know, we do see them relegated in the next couple of years if they don't turn things around quick. But I don't have much to take away from this one. I thought Atalanta did well. Someone who caught my eye was Lookman. I brought him up in the predictions podcast, last one. And I don't think he'll be a game changer right away, which I still stand by that. I don't think he'll be a game changer ASAP, but I think he could become one. And yeah, he's very good on the ball. Like I said, and against Roma, I got to see him up close against when we played Leicester. And he's very good with the ball at his feet. He's a tricky guy, one-on-one, very tough to defend. And he also got himself a goal. I can't leave that part out, so... Yeah, great debut goal for Lookman, and I think he'll be an exciting player for Atalanta going forward, and a good overall win for Atalanta.
Yeah, I agree. It was interesting to see because he came on. I think this was on the same time as Milan.
Yeah.
So I was watching the Milan Udinese game, and I see 1-0 Sampdoria early on. I go, okay, that's interesting, but then. It got called off from a foul, apparently, and then all of a sudden you see 2-0 Atalanta, then Lookman got the goal. And I was like, okay, he made an immediate impact. And I remember a lot of times with Lookman, he's a very skillful dribbler, but there's times where he's inconsistent. And it seemed like he changed the game off the bench. It seemed like he came in, took advantage of tired legs of Sampdoria and made them pay. So it was a good 2-0 win for Atalanta. I don't know how they played. I don't know if they were back to themselves, but it's always a good way to kick off the season when you pick up the 3 points. And just looking at their lineup, it was interesting to see Okolian. He's a very young center back, and he was on Cremonese last year, and there's a lot of talk that he might have been loaned out. But it seems like, Gasperini, when it comes to my mind thing, like he's one manager I actually do want to forget about. Totally, he seems like he could be a center back that could probably start a lot of games now, especially with Palomino potentially missing the year with his suspension. We got to see about that. But he could be definitely one player to look out for. He's a young center back. He's tall and he fits in. He likes to play at the three in the back, and I feel like he could be a very solid center back in the future.
Yeah, very well said. Like Enzo and Danny said, I feel like this game, Enzo said it best here, that Sampdoria are on the decline. So going into this game, you would predict an Atalanta win or a very close game. And you know what, Atalanta, I'm not going to say they surprised me because I don't think their magic is there this year. I feel like they're also on the decline, similar with Sampdoria. But they showed up, they played well, they got the job done. It wasn't in true Atalanta fashion for me. I feel like the old Atalanta with Gomez and everyone, this would have been a 3-4-5-0 game. But they got the job done, and that's all you need to do. They got the win, and Gasperini's men are marching on. And we'll see how Atalanta transition through the later games, and as players get tired and fatigued, we'll see how that affects them. But so far, they got the 3 points, and they're going through.
Yeah, a pretty straightforward win for Atalanta. And without any European competitions, I feel like that would really benefit them. And I don't think they're very good at handling multiple competitions, so I think it's really helped them this year. And they might, you know, surpass where we put them in our table just because of that. I think they never had the depth to play both. Now they don't have to. They might go back to the old Atalanta, but I don't think they will. Just defensively, they're very shaky, although they did get a clean sheet today. But we'll see. I mean, my thing is, I always say you can't really judge a team until 10 games in. I think that's where you really see, you know, which players are serious, which teams are serious, which teams, you know, have big holes that, you know, are going to prevent them from achieving certain goals. But yeah, it's early on, and a good win for Atalanta. Moving on now to Lecce, Inter. I think going into this one, most people probably would have said, okay, straightforward win for Inter. Some people maybe even say, why am I going to watch this? I already know what's going to happen. But no, Lecce put up a good fight. Lukaku returns to the steady at, and 2 minutes in, already got himself a goal. Congrats to Big Rome. It's good to have him back in the league. I think he helps raise the profile of the steady at when he's doing well. So it's going to help the league as a whole if he continues this. But yeah, a good goal for Inter to start off the game. They did look better Inter throughout the match, but in the second half, Lecce did kind of, you know, put their foot on the gas and took it to Inter a little bit there. And I mean, they got one back, and I don't know. Inter, defensively, they look good. I feel like there's a bit of a disconnect still between just the team in general. I feel like players want to do different things. They seem a little bit off the page at times. They didn't seem to be on the same page. Lautaro and Lukaku, they look, you know, like they usually did before Lukaku departed. But I feel like the midfield to attack, there's a bit of a disconnect, but not too much. I thought the midfield's great for Inter. It always is. I still think they're one of the best mids in Europe. I stand by that. And, yeah, Lecce could have even taken the lead at some point. Handanovic made a great save on a free kick. Yeah. One-handed. I don't know how he got to that. Incredible save. And, Inter hung on. They even hit the post. They could have taken the lead earlier, but then they didn't. And then late on, Lautaro flicked it on to Dumfries, who put it away for the win. Actually, the friend of that game is an Inter fan, so I'm sure he was exploding when that ball went in the back of the net. And like we said for Milan, you know, champions, Inter, recent Scudetto winners, champions want to win games no matter how ugly it is. And to be honest, early on, I see people, you know, when their team wins, they overreact. Oh, this player's amazing, he has a great year, this guy's good, that guy's good. And when they lose, they say, oh, we're terrible. We look terrible. Oh, my God. This guy needs to go. Everyone overreacts at the beginning of the year. The same thing happens every time. But, you know, all that really matters at the beginning is wins, and Inter got one. And did they play amazing? No, but they didn't play poorly at all. They could have had a couple goals. So, yeah, credit to Inter. They got the job done. And, yeah, that's all I can really say about that. Dan, what do you think about that one?
Yeah. No, I agree. I thought Lecce put up a hell of a fight. I know it's always hard for when a team 2 minutes into the game scores first goal. You would think, oh, once you saw Lukaku score 2 minutes in, which I think he did kind of the same thing in 2019. He scored the first goal on his debut, like back with Inter against Lecce in 2019. But 2 minutes into the game, you're seeing Lukaku score a beautiful ball by Darmian. And I feel like Darmian, I think he's one of the players for Inter that he's kind of like an unsung hero. I thought last year he was he had a very good year last year and provided a good assist on Lukaku's goal. But once Inter took the lead, Lecce were fighting back. They put up a great fight. And then Cisse out of nowhere, beautiful goal to tie it up at 1-1. And then the last team of the game, Inter found a way to score. Beautiful, great goal by Dumfries, a big goal already in the first game of the season. But I felt like Inter were the better side, but I'm going to give a quick shout-out to Falcone, who made maybe, I think, 6-7 saves this game. Very important reason why this game was only 2-1. Kept Lecce in it all game. He made some big saves as well. But it was unfortunate that at the last kick of the game, Inter stole 2 points away from Lecce and started off the season well. But it was a very good game overall. If you like intense games between a newly promoted side and a top team, this was the game for you. It was a very good game. The pitch was a little questionable, but again, we're in August, so and it's been hot in Italy for the last 2 weeks. But throughout the season, they'll get better. But it was a very good game to watch and a very important win for Inter to begin their season.
Yeah, like Danny and Enzo said, I think starting off, Inter started off hot. Lukaku was hungry for that goal and to prove himself back to the fans. And I think he did that this game. And obviously, the first 2 minutes, he scores that little header. And then Lecce kind of said, okay, what's happening here? I think for the first half, Inter were in the driver's seat. And like Danny said, the goalie was very, very on his game for the first half. He was making saves and keeping Lecce in the game. And the defense was doing not very well, but they were doing well enough to hoard off Lautaro and Lukaku. Brozovic also had a very good chance at, he had a long shot, I believe, that almost went in. So Inter was definitely the driver's seat, and we could definitely see from the first half that Inter is eventually going to get their second goal and put the game to bed. But it just didn't come for a while. And in the second half, I don't know what happened in that locker room, but Lecce came out kicking and screaming. They came out with a fight. And they looked, for me, Lecce was definitely the better team in the second half, opposed to the first half. And then after, I want to say the 80th minute, it's kind of been going back and forth until that corner. I was actually on the phone with Enzo. And once I saw the fourth linesman add the 5 minutes of extra time, I was complaining, and Enzo started laughing at me. I said, I just have a feeling Inter's going to score at the last minute, like they always do. And then that corner came, and Dumfries scored, and I just couldn't believe my eyes. Obviously, if you're an Inter fan, you're screaming, you're celebrating. So it's a great win for Inter. As everyone else, I think they were very disappointed that the last kick of the game, Inter scored off that corner. I think it was poor man-marking from Lecce, and they gave up when all he had to do was just hold off for another 30 seconds, but it's okay, and it was a great game nonetheless, and I feel like Lecce is going to go on to that for the next week.
Yeah, no, annoying win if you're contending for the Scudetto and you're a fan of another team, but a great win for Inter and their fans. And exciting, brought some more drama to an already drama-filled opening match day. And speaking of drama, the biggest drama of them all, Fiorentina Cremonese. I was on FaceTime with Danny at the beginning of this game, trying to sort out my Fubo to find the Italian commentary option. And, we'll get right into it. The opening goal, Kwame, I thought, did incredibly well there to find Bonaventura. You know, some nice dribbles, shake off his defender, put a beautiful ball in, and Bonaventura for an incredible finish. We know he's capable of that. If injuries didn't halt him, I feel like it's similar to a Giuseppe Rossi kind of story. I feel like he could have been even better than he is. Bonaventura is very, very good at Milan. If it wasn't for all those injuries, like I said, I feel like he could have been a top player in the league. So it is unfortunate, you know, sometimes when I do see him, I think about that. But he's still a good player. He's not like, he's a bad player at all, and he's still contributing. So it's good to see that. Once again, a great finish. Then Okereke, he tied it up. And last season, probably one of my most annoying players to play against. He's on Venezia. I think he scored 7 goals last year. Did really well for them. And, yeah, he's very annoying to play against. He's quick. He's smart. He gets into good areas and causes a lot of problems for defenses. So it's good to see him doing well for another team as well. And stayed in steady out Cremonese. So that's good to see. And then Jovic, our boy, all three of us have spoken highly of him. We all felt like he'd be good for Fiorentina, and not only us three, I think. It's a general opinion of the public. I think a lot of people think that Jovic is going to do well for Fiorentina just because of, you know, Italiano and his history of strikers. And then Jovic, you know, we knew he was capable of quite a bit when he was playing in the Bundesliga. And, he got Spurs goal on his debut. Very nice goal. Some back to the network with a quick turn to throw off. I'm trying to remember who was in that. Oh, Radu. How can I forget? Radu.
Yeah, the man of the hour.
Man of the hour. I'm about to rip into him pretty soon. And even on this goal, to be honest, Jovic confused not only the defenders, but Radu with some back to the network. Turned quickly, fired, and Radu didn't move. And, great goal from Jovic. Just a classic striker goal that you like to see. And, then there's Escalante with a horrific tackle, which I don't know what the hell he was thinking. He got sent off, of course. It was on Kwame. A very dangerous tackle. I don't know what he was doing there. And, that happened. And then more terrible goalkeeping after terrible goalkeeping from Golini. He just allowed a really stupid rebound that made it easy for Bianchetti to tap it in and tie it up for Cremonese. Just a really bad rebound to allow. It was off a corner. Almost went in, actually, the corner. So that tells you how bad the goalkeeping was there. And just positioning and everything, pretty bad, and allowed Bianchetti to get a goal that I think even us sitting on our couch here can score at home. So, pretty bad goalkeeping, but not as bad as the next one. Before I get into that, actually, I'll talk about Biraghi. I thought he had a good game, and great free kick from him that almost went in there. But I do, for once, I'm not going to show him too much. He's actually pretty talented, but he's still very young and raw, so... I don't rip into him too much, but great save from Radu on Biraghi on that free kick. That was one perfect top corner, and probably would have went in against most keepers, so he did well to get there, and great save. But then now we're here at the moment where Radu had one of the biggest misplays or mishaps I've seen maybe the last 10 years. Mandragora, who I'd say is a pretty decent midfielder, I like him. Played a beautiful ball into the back post. Wasn't that beautiful because, you know, right into the goalkeeper's hands, which usually if you're the fan of that goalkeeper, you say, okay, game's done. You're going to catch the ball, you know, lay down, sit on the ball for a bit, waste some time, and the game's done. Because obviously Cremonese, a draw is a very great result for them. And that's not what happened. Radu's brain had a malfunction or something, or maybe he was playing FIFA and was lagging. Something happened. But rather than punching the ball out, he attempted to catch the ball while he was already falling backwards towards the net. And he caught it, and he held on to it. He sure did. And he held on to it all the way to the back of his own net. And, Mandragora scored the ball and the goalie. So, both Radu and the ball went in the net. So, it's kind of like those cartoons when you're a kid, when someone kicks the ball and sends the goalie into the net. Kind of like those animations they make there. But, Radu's had the biggest brain fart I've seen in some time now. And gifted Fiorentina 3 points. And that's all I got to say about that one. I'm not going to rip into him too much. He's still young. He did make some nice saves, but that's unacceptable at any level, let alone a professional level. So, I've seen Dan play net quite a few times. I've never seen Dan bring a ball to the net. So, no.
Everyone has to sign him up.
Yeah, get him in.
I'm available.
And speaking of Dan, what did you think of it?
Yeah, no, it was very entertaining. Between goalkeeper mistakes, red cards, just everything in this game. I felt like Fiorentina were the better side, obviously. And I want to bring up Sortil. I thought he had a very strong match. He was creating a lot of chances for Fiorentina, taking a lot of shots. And I felt like he was one of their best players on the pitch. it's nice to see Jovic get a goal. I know this guy heading into before his transfer to Real Madrid, he was one of the best strikers in the Bundesliga, and he was scoring a lot of goals. He was highly rated by a lot of teams in the Prem, and then he signed for Real Madrid, and it seems like he really didn't adjust to that next level to that team. But now coming to a league where you could say it's close, it's similar style to the Bundesliga when it comes to attacking, especially with Italiano, who, like we said, knows how to get the best out of his strikers and gets a goal in his debut, which is well taken. Great work by Kinome too, as well. I felt like last few years, he's been in and out of the league, on loan with different teams, but I felt like he did well this year, this game, I should say, to show to Italiano why he deserves to be on this team, to pick up Bonaventura, who, like we always said too, he's a very talented player. He's just been bombarded by injuries, and I feel like that prevented him from, again, like what Ed said, from him getting to that next level. But they did a good job between Kwame and Bonaventura to get the goal, but Sotillo set up Jovic for second. And yeah, that goalkeeping mistake, I saw a few times now, because I really didn't see the goal live. I had to leave to go out. And seeing that goalkeeping mistake four or five times already, it blows my mind how professional keepers still make big mistakes. I understand we're all human, we all make mistakes, but a couple times now, Radu's had brain farts the last two seasons against Bologna and now against Fiorentina. So who knows? Maybe it's his confidence. Who knows? But he's a talented keeper. He's made some big saves this game. But that mistake could haunt Cremonese, depending on a few results here and there.
Yeah, very well said. And like both of you guys said, that first goal was all Kwame. I think I said it last year, maybe 2 years ago as well. I really liked Kwame. I think the thing with him is he needs a striker beside him. He needs that Jovic. He needs that Vlahovic. I think he's better as a creator than a finisher, because that man and finishing the ball don't go well together. But I think beating his man one-on-one and passing that ball off to the striker and creating space is what he's best at. And we saw that perfectly when he set up Bonaventura for a great strike. And like both of you guys said, this was a very close game. You didn't really know who was going to win. And you thought when Escalante got that red card and Fiorentina were 2-1 up, you would think, okay, that's like a game. Fiorentina should have this in the bag. And then Biancheri goes ahead and ties it up for Cremonese. So it was just, they really, this is the team, the most, the newest team in Serie A that's impressed me the most so far. I feel like Lecce, they played Inter. And I, like I said, I think they fought well in the second half. But in terms of willpower, I think Cremonese definitely did a better job of that. And then when we talk about Monza, we'll get into that disaster of a game from them. But I feel like out of the newly promoted teams, Cremonese definitely put up the biggest fight to try to get that result. And it's just unfortunate that mishap with Radu. I don't know, like Enzo said, his brain malfunctioned or something. Maybe he lost balance. I'm not sure what was going on in his head over there, what happened. But a very unfortunate mistake from him that caused them the draw. But I'm sure Fiorentina fans are very happy with that. And it was a good win. I want to say it was a deserved win. I feel like Fiorentina were the slightly better team out of the two, but Cremonese, they were definitely fighting and definitely hungry to get that win.
Yeah, and the drama doesn't finish there, believe it or not. Lazio Bologna.
That was game, a fun, you know, one.
Red cards. So more goalkeeping errors.
On goals, yeah.
On goals,
this,
yeah,
match could have been a WWE main event.
Yeah, for real. Point. At least two or three situations where both teams got into a big crowd and started, you know, arguing with each other. So, yeah, a lot of stuff went down. Even I'm not going to get into Arnautovic's penalty. I'll get into that soon. But, yeah, start off with Maximiano. You know, debut, big night for him. I'm sure he was excited. Family came to watch. highly anticipated. And gets sent off, I believe, about 6 minutes into the match. Yeah. And And then there's Promedel, who also makes his debut as a goalkeeper. I don't think I've ever seen two goalkeepers debut in the same match other than a friendly. So that happened. He came in pretty early on after Maximiliano got sent off. And that's the first red card of the game. And Bologna took the lead after a pretty stupid challenge from Zaccagni on, I believe it was Sansone.
Yeah.
You know, studs up. I believe they hit him on the side of the knee. I don't think it was intentional, but it's reckless. You shouldn't be even putting yourself in the situation to make that challenge, and it happened. Arnautovic puts away the pen. I'm not sure what happened. Some kind of scuffle the first one of the game with Immobile is talking to Arnautovic. Something happened. I don't know what happened there, but Arnautovic got a yellow card, I believe he did. Him and someone else.
Sumoto.
Yeah, Sumoto. He WWE tackled someone twice. I don't know who saw that, but like, he legit dove head first. And grabbed, I don't know who, what player it was, but he grabbed their legs like a football tackle. Like, I don't know what he's thinking. Yeah, it was really a rugby tackle. That happened. And then another stupid tackle from him. Some weird sliding tackle, but it was like, I don't know what the hell it was, but it was worth a second yellow. And he got sent off. Pretty idiotic from him. Back to back stupid tackles like that. Then the game's 10v10. I guess more interesting, more space in the field. And it was more interesting after that. But I feel tied up. Lazzari, who I think maybe could have been the best player that game, if not one of the best, I think is very dangerous down the wing there. Caused a lot of problems for Bologna. He went on a bit of a solo run there. Got in between the Bologna defense. Tried to play in a ball to Immobile. Skoruski kind of intercepted there, came out of his net. Deflected off his own defender. To a Disilvestri, and then went to his own net. I can't really blame Disilvestri there. It's just one of those unfortunate goals. Can't really react that quick. If he could, then he's a cat. The ball just came out of him very quick, and it's just unfortunate. I'm not going to blame him for that own goal. It's just, that stuff like that happens. There's a lot of good defenders in the world. When you're a defender, you're always going to be in front of that, and you're always, open to getting an own goal and the ball smacking off you. So I won't blame him for that. It's more credit to the outside that they're there for putting the pressure on the defense for something like that to happen. And then Lazio would take the lead eventually with Immobile. Some nice link-up play. Savic plays them through, and then Immobile with a nice tidy finish to get the lead. I thought Lazio would get the win after I saw Tomaro, or whatever his name is, Sumaoro, the WWE wrestler on Bologna. With the two tackles of something you'd seen in the NFL. And after I saw him get sent off, I'm like, I think we're going to see Lazio make a comeback here. It just felt like it. And it did happen. And good win for Lazio. Unfortunate for Bologna. I feel like they really did have the game in their hands there. 1-0 up, men advantage. And they lost their heads and completely blew it after the red card. And it was unfortunate, but it is good to see Arnautovic still on the team for Bologna. I feel like he's a big part of the season last year. Obviously, we saw him almost break our hearts for Italy in Euros. So whenever I look at him, I just think of that moment, the offside goal. But, good win for Lazio and unfortunate for Bologna.
Yeah, no, I agree. I felt like Bologna were the better side first half up to the red card, you could say. I wasn't really impressed with the way Lazio were playing, but once the red card happens and they turned on their jets and they woke up, Lazzari, always causing trouble for anyone on the left side. He's got so much pace. He's so fast coming down that right side. Causes a lot of the players trouble. I remember last year, too, with, I believe it was Ruri and Husai. He caused them a lot of trouble when he was attacking that left side, or a couple of years ago with Husai. And he's just a very fast player crossing the ball. And unlucky, like you said, Ed, from Silvestri, just to have it bounce off of him and go in. Beautiful goal by Immobile, a great ball by Savic to put him in. But I want to talk about Maximiliano's mistake for a little bit. As a keeper, you understand, you're running fast, you don't know where you are, but you have to get a sense, especially being an experienced keeper like him. He's played, I believe, 3-4 years now at top levels. He's played, I think, a few Champions League games. You have to be aware of your box, and especially 5 minutes in, I guess, like, it's your adrenaline. You're making first starts, so some nerves here and there. But it's a huge mistake he's made, and who knows, maybe this, even just this one game could prove costly for him. Maybe he can lose the starting job if Provedel can overcome, become the starter because of what he's done last year. He's a pretty good keeper as well. So for them to have Provedel as a backup, it's a good backup to have. But it's a big mistake from Maximiliano, and could have cost Lazio 3 points. Going down to 10 man, they had to take off a midfielder, which I'm not going to get into because for me, I would take off an attacker just so your team could control the mid. But at the end of the day, that's Sarri's decision. I felt like Bologna were the better side this first half, but once they got that red card off of two silly challenges, they just threw this game away. And then that own goal just opened up the floodgates for Lazio, and they found a second. And it was a big win for Lazio, and lots of drama in this game. So this game was definitely entertaining to watch.
Before you hop in, just a shout out to the TFC fans. For those of you that watch MLS and Toronto FC specifically, what you saw there was the Alex Bono special. So I'll throw it out there.
Yeah.
Alex Bono does that quite a bit, so yeah, you can go for sure.
Yeah, very well said from Danny and Enz. I think Danny hit it spot on when he said Bologna were the better team in the first half, and I feel like that gave them that spark. Lazio's morales were down when the goalie got the red card. And then after when Bologna got the red card, I feel like Lazio was like, okay, guys, we're not dead yet. Now it's 10v10. Levels of playing field. Like, we're only 1-0 down. Let's come on. Let's go get a goal. And then eventually they made that comeback with the Silvestri's unfortunate own goal and Immobile winning the game for Lazio. And I feel like Immobile is always going to score for Lazio. I wish he could do that with the Azzurri, but that's another topic for another day. But Lazio get up with a scrappy win. I definitely think that was Bologna's game to lose rather than Lazio's game to win. But Lazio fought harder. And Bologna, once they got that red card, they were just defeated. And they just looked like they weren't even trying most of the game after that. But it was a good win for Lazio, and Bologna just need to see how to bounce back from that for next week now.
Yeah, no, and that's probably the last drama-filled game that we're going to talk about here. We got Salernitana Roma, the next one. I'd say it was pretty straightforward for Roma. I think Salernitana was a good opponent to have for us to, you know, begin the season and kind of ease into it. We got a lot of good players, but also a lot of players that haven't played a lot of minutes together, so it's going to take some time for that to gel. I thought we were the better team the whole game. We gave Salernitana the ball a lot in the second half, which I think was our own doing. I think it was intentional, trying to kill off the game. It was a very hot inside, I don't know, very, very hot. Both teams, when it hit maybe the 70th minute mark, looked like they're about to just fall over and collapse. It was extremely hot there, and yeah, both teams didn't really have much left in them when it came to the end of the game. Roma even got 2 days off. They're off yesterday, and they're off today, too. They'll begin practice tomorrow. But yeah, it was a very a hot match to play. I think we had 2 water breaks each half, maybe, if I remember correctly. But anyways, yeah, it was a very hot game. And in terms of the way we played early on, I saw very good football from Roma. We played well. We were more fresh. The heat didn't make an impact just yet. And both teams are, you know, kind of, you know, running quite a bit up and down the pitch. I thought our best player was Cristante, not just because of the goal. But he really surprised me. I wanted Matic to start the game. I really like Matic. I like how he's kind of like the garbage man in the best way possible. He cleans everything up in the midfield. And I thought he fit in perfect right behind Pellegrini. But he didn't get the start. Cristante did. And I can see why. Maybe Mourinho went for the more experienced, steady out ready players and guys you can trust a little bit more to open the year. And yeah, it worked. Mourinho was right. I was wrong, of course. You know, you'd think the guy with multiple Champions Leagues and you know, league titles and European trophies would know more than me. So, Cristante did well. Matter of the match, in my opinion, won lots of balls back. Second best player, you can argue between a couple of guys. Karsdorp, I thought, had an incredible game. Really, really good. A lot of energy running up and down the flank, both defensively and going forward. Dybala was incredible. I'd probably edge it to him as second best player. I thought Dybala was just doing Dybala things. He really connected everything together, almost got himself a goal. Zaniolo beat three or four players, played Dybala in perfectly, and then just hit the post. Got unlucky there. Could have had maybe two goals. Zaniolo was incredible, and he seems to have found his pace again that he had before the injury. I'm sure a lot of people remember it wasn't that long ago. Before his injury, Zaniolo was known for running by teams. You know, he started against Juve, he started against Spal for that bar down goal he scored. He used to do it almost every game. He'd run through the team at least once. And he lost a little bit last year. I feel like he put on too much muscle to try and I'm sure it was a doctor that told him, hey, you put more muscle to protect you more from when you fall and, you know, lessen the impact and avoid, you know, potential future injuries. But last year, he didn't really get hurt at all. He played over 40 games. So he put those injuries behind him. Now it seems like he leaned out more. Seems like the old Zaniolo, he's got that finesse back, beating guys left, right, and center. He's focused. And you're just missing the finish. He could have had, in my opinion, he could have had a hat trick in the first 15 minutes. He missed some really bad opportunities that, you know, they should have been a goal. But I always say it's always the easy part to learn how to finish, the hard part to create them. And he creates the chances with ease. He always finds himself an opportunity to score. And, you know, the finish will come as time goes on. I'm not worried about that. And I think it's a good sign for Italy that Zaniolo is looking like his old self now because I feel like he has what he needs, a striker. And Zaniolo's been playing striker beside Tammy now, so it's looking good. Tammy's in a new role now. He's kind of a hold-up play kind of striker, so I don't think we'll see him score as much as he did last year, playing a little bit deeper. And he can, right, because he's someone that's big, he's strong, he can hold the ball well. And he's also a very good dribbler. He's quick. He can get him behind when he has to. Just the way he's built allows him to be very versatile and can play different roles for Roma, which is good. Who am I forgetting here? Spinazzola. I think it was the first game I've seen him since coming back from the injury where he looked like the Euro Spinazzola. He was beating people, you know, beating multiple people, gliding down the wing, doing Spinazzola things, very good defensively as well. I think it was the first time where I'm like, oh, wow, that's the Spina that we knew before the injury and at the Euro. So, yeah, that's a very good sign and very promising. The defense, I thought they all played well. No one really had a bad game. I'm trying to think. Ibanez had a couple of reckless plays, but you're going to get that if Ibanez. He's still very young. I think he's 22 and for a defender, we all know how young that is. But he had a very good game. Smalling is Smalling. He didn't put a wrong foot in. Other than I think his first yellow in like 3 years Smalling got, which is kind of a crazy stat as a center back. Mancini did well. And I think that's everyone. Roy didn't have much to do. Sterling Tana didn't even have one chance, I can remember. They had that one shot from outside the box that kind of swerved in an awkward direction. Gave Roy a little bit of difficulty, but not enough to, you know, worry anyone. But yeah, Roma did well. I was impressed. We got to win. Probably should have won 4 or 5-0. And that's about it, really. On to Cremonese next week. Do you guys want to add anything, or should we move on?
No, you covered it well. I was just going to add, like you said, Enzo, 1-0 doesn't tell the whole story. A few more, like, if Zaniolo finished a few chances, could have had, like, I think 4 goals or something, I counted. It was, like, yeah, 4 or 5 goals you guys could have had, like, in the first, like, 55 minutes or so. So, yeah, it was a good game from Roma. They attacked well. Just, again, I'm lucky with some of the finishing. Seppe made a few nice saves as well. So this game could have been 3-4-0, if anything. Despite the chances, if they could have finished their chances, could have been like 3-4-0. So, yeah, it was a good game for Roma. Salernitana didn't really do much in this game. They had maybe 2 shots I can recall that were like on target or so. Yeah, Roma, for me, were the way better side, and they looked good. Link up plays between Dybala and Zaniolo, they looked really good as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. And my bad, I also forgot Pellegrini. I was thinking, now who do I forget? I'm not going to get into him too much. Yeah, shout out to him. I know Mourinho talked to him not too long ago about playing a different role, which he kind of has to with all these attacking players we have now. He's playing a little bit deeper now, and I thought he did incredibly well in that role. In a role like that, you're not going to be, you know, the standout guy. You're not going to, you know, make the headlines, but he really did a really good job of putting the team together, connecting the defense to the attack, and really liking that role. And, yeah, he's become a leader under Mourinho, so credit to Pellegrini for sacrificing his role as well as Tammy. Richie, anything you want to add before we move on to Napoli-Verona?
Yeah, just quickly, I just want to throw in, I think you said it best, Terrence. I think it's going to take time for that quartet to gel. You saw glimpses in preseason and against Salernitana how Dybala moves the ball with Zaniolo and Tammy and back to Pellegrini. I think that quartet's going to be very dangerous in the later weeks of the Serie A. I think they just need a bit more chemistry between the four of them. And like Danny mentioned earlier, too, I think this game could have easily been 4-5-0. Zaniolo had a lot of clear-cut chances that he could have scored. Same with Dybala with that one chance that he just hit the post and got unlucky. I think once Roma start firing and get those games more game time in, I think it's going to be a very dangerous attacking quartet, and I think it's going to be a very exciting team to watch in the city.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited for the future. And yeah, some more exciting things that happened. Verona-Napoli, another firework of a game. A lot of chances, a lot of goals, great play. Obviously, we'll let Danny be the one that really gets into detail. I just want to say Zielinski really impressed me. I thought he had an incredible game.
Yeah.
And he does have games like that, you know, like even in past seasons, he'll have a game where like, oh, wow, that's a Zielinski. Everyone knows. And then he'll go on like a 3-4 game spell where he's not playing the best, and then he'll find it again. If Zielinski can maintain this level he played at against Verona, then I think Napoli can be a really, really scary team to go up against. He was incredible. So, yeah, credit to Zielinski, and I thought Lobotka did well. Yeah, I'm going to try to say his name. Kavashkili, yeah, something like that. It's close enough, I think.
Yeah.
He was incredible. I think something we saw in preseason, very good dribbler. Obviously scored on his debut, so shout out to him for that as well. And, yeah, no, I think it'll be a very interesting piece for Napoli. Will he make an immediate impact this season all year long? We'll see. It's only one game in. But he's definitely going to be one for the future, that's for sure. And the dribbling ability is very special. So, yeah, Danny, take it away.
Yeah, no, heading into the game, Napoli, to begin the game, we were on the front foot. We were creating a lot of chances. We had a few. Montipo made some nice saves early on. But then our set piece, just lack of defending. Not going to say poor defending to allow, I believe it was Angla to take a shot. Meta had made a nice save. And then the corner, no marking in the front post, allowed to have a back post where Rui didn't track Lasagna, and he had an easy tap in to make 1-0 for Verona. But from that moment on, picked up the pace. Beautiful ball by Lozano to find a, well, not really find Kravashkilia. The ball went over Osimhen's head, but Kravashkilia was there to head home his first Serie A goal on his debut. And I felt like Kravashkilia the whole game, he was good. He did lose in the first couple of minutes of the game. He did lose a lot of possession. He wasn't blown by guys. But once he was, he settled into the game, we saw that dribbling ability that us Napoli fans and fans around, Georgian fans around the world, knows that he has. He can dribble by players. I can't remember who it was. It may have been Tamze. I think it was him. He just blew by him. And Montipo had to make a nice save. For me, I really like the way Lobotka played. He really calmed the midfield. I know a lot of people might not agree with it, but there was times yesterday where Lobotka had similar play to Iniesta. He was dribbling by players. He was calming down the play. He was finding his teammates. And that goal was unreal. He scored an unreal goal where I think that was going to be the easiest assist Rui has ever got in his time. Just passed it to Lobotka. Lobotka dribbled, ran through the whole team, slotted it home to give us, I believe it was the 3-2 goal he gave us. Maybe even the 4-2 goal. But, yeah, it was a 4-2 goal where the third goal happened with good link-up play from Rui to find Kavashkilia, who found Zielinski pushing up to slot home. Beautiful goal. I just felt like Napoli, from the second half even, once Osimhen got that goal, it was just all us. I know Anneli scored the goal to tie it up, but, again, it was poor marking from Napoli's side backs. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I really like the way Kim played in his first game. I felt like there was a lot of times he did a lot of good. There was a few times where there was miscommunication between him and Romani, but that's going to happen as they're just a new partnership. I think they'll be better as the year goes on. I'm not going to really blame Millett. Both goals weren't really his fault. They were just poor defensive communication and marking. But that's going to be expected the first few games, especially with new center back partnerships. I felt Anguissa did well pushing forward. He did get a header on that at the post, just unlucky. But I really like the way he played. Lozano, for me, was, I think he was part of maybe the second or third best player on the pitch. He was blowing by Amorne the whole game. He won a lot of fouls from against the Verona defenders or whoever was on him. He was creating a lot of chances for us. Got the assist on Kravashkilia's goal. And I just like the way Osimhen played. He got a nice tap, and it seems like he likes scoring against Verona. Really like the celebrations that we did the first two goals. And the assist, too, on Politano. Usually in the past, you would see Osimhen take that ball on and shoot it, but he took the ball, back-heeled it to Politano, who came in, got the goal. Then Unas came in, got a goal, but was a little ruled off because Zerbin was offside, even though Montipo dove into him. I guess they called goal interference, I think they called it. I really don't know what they called.
Goalie interference.
Player was to Zerbin, but whatever, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. So I really like the way we played, especially to begin the year. We just got to fix a few things. I'm hoping by the time the game on Sunday against Monza, I'm hoping Simeone is there. Hopefully, maybe a novice is there. Then we can really say, okay, you know what? This Napoli team is looking good. This game is just, I'm not going to say, oh, look, we're going to win the league, whatever, but because it's only the first game of the season. But for me, I was very happy with the way that we played overall. There's a few mistakes that we made, came out sleeping to begin the half. But I really like the way that we settled in. We didn't allow Verona to – we allowed ourselves to play our game. We didn't allow Verona to push us, cause any trouble, really any trouble since that second goal. And I just feel like hopefully we can continue this. I know there's no Insigne, no Koulibaly, no Mertens, but maybe that's their thing with Napoli. Maybe we don't need pressure on us. Maybe we just allow us to play our game, and who knows at the end of the year. But this was a very good start for us, and I'm very happy with the way we played.
Yeah, that was very well recapped. And just a quick thing to touch up on, I feel like Napoli, both teams surprised me in contrast here. I think Napoli surprised me on the positive, and Verona obviously surprised me on the disappointing side here. Opening up, I feel like Napoli were definitely the better team for majority of the game. I want to say like 90% of the game, Napoli were definitely on the front end, and they just got caught up in a couple of counterattacking scenarios and a couple of turnovers that led to Verona's two goals. I feel like once Lasagna opened up the scoring, Napoli kind of had to respond, and that guy that I'm not even going to try to say his name, but he for me, he was Napoli's best player. He surprised me very, very well. Obviously, I knew nothing about him, but the way he played and the way he moved in the air was very good. And you could tell he's definitely going to be a huge help for Napoli's attack this season. He's going to be a huge influence. I wasn't a fan of the celebration. He's doing the sleep celebration, but I don't know who he was putting to sleep, considering that was a game tying goal at 1-1. So I don't know. I didn't agree too much with that celebration. When Osimhen scored, or the Walmart Batman, he took off the mask. So I'm glad to see he could take off that mask. We'll see how it plays the rest of the season, but he took off the mask to start crying, to the fans. That was a very good celebration. I enjoyed that. I think that was a fantastic one. There's a backstory
that I'm going to touch up on now. I believe it was before the goal, they were making, racism in Verona, especially against Napoli. They were making monkey noises towards them. This is all news now, that they're being, literally, as we were talking about Roma, I just saw the notification that the Verona is being investigated for racism towards Osimhen. So once Osimhen scored, he did the crying thing, the crying celebration. And I'm happy with that because...
yeah, it's a very good celebration. It gets in the fans.
And apparently he grabbed the ball, he kicked into the stands, and then he did the celebration. I'm happy with that because this has to stop. It's embarrassing now, the amount of times you've seen clubs being investigated for racism, and the league's done nothing. They do nothing with these investigations. So something's got to change, and I'm glad that Osimhen didn't allow them allow their words to affect the way he played. Got a goal and he got an assist. So what more can I ask for him?
Yeah, Osimhen played very well. Like I said in the predictions podcast, when he plays with that mask on, he's a different player. It's like his like good luck charm. I don't know, it's weird. But Verona were still in the game. Henry scored, Thomas Henry, and he did well. And then after that, I feel like Verona kind of woke up. After that second goal, they got that little spark, and then once Zielinski scored, Napoli just opened up the floodgates. The defending on Verona was atrocious. I don't know what I was watching. The man marking, they looked lost. They looked like you just put a bunch of 12-year-olds on the field against Napoli and said, guys, go play against Napoli, the Serie A team. Have fun. You're going to defend now. And that's what it looked like after Zielinski's goal. And Napoli took advantage of that, which is very good to see that even though they lost all these important players for them, they could still put on a great performance like they did against Verona. And I don't think it was much of a Napoli great performance. Much of I feel like Verona were very, very poor. Napoli capitalized on that. Like I said, that's what teams who want to contend for the Scudetto and want to contend for top four, they have to. They have to make sure their opponents' mistakes, they pay for them. And that's what Napoli did. Every little mistake Verona made, Napoli made sure they paid for them, and that's what we saw, this big score. And it could have been six, but the goalie just got impeded on that goal. For me personally, I understand the foul, but at the same time, I don't think the goalie was saving that, regardless if he got impeded or not. But it was a foul at the end of the day, and Napoli still walked away with that. Napoli still walked away with that big 5-2 goal margin, and they march on for next week to see how they continue this hot form and how Verona, which I still believe the magic is coming for that top eight finish.
Yeah, I want to bring up your magic there. the ones weren't working quite yet. Maybe they can charge them and get them ready
Look at Salernitana last season. They looked like they were going down. Magic came at the last couple of match days to stay up. That's what's going to happen with Verona. The magic is going to come eventually, and they'll get the top eight.
But before we move on, I want to bring up a point Enzo made. I was also very impressed with Zielinski. He's a very good midfielder when he's on his game, but there's a lot of times where he's so inconsistent. Especially last season, I felt like after the second leg in the Barca match, I just don't think he was the Zielinski that Napoli fans wanted him to be, or we know that he can be. But this game, it was a great example of the Zielinski that the Napoli fans know that of. And I hope he takes this next step, this big step, especially because we need someone besides Kvaratskhelia, besides our wingers to create, and he's our most creative midfielder. And I feel like this season, especially for starting to play the 4-3-3, I feel like that's where he gels in. I like the way he plays on the left side, him and linking up with Kvaratskhelia. I felt they did well on the left side. And I just want to, I just hope he can become the midfielder that he was a couple of years ago, where he had, I believe it was 10 goals, 10 assists or so. Like, he had a very good season. And I just hope he can get back to that form, because last season, second half of the season, you could say he wasn't really himself. And those times where Napoli were better off without him in the lineup, but I feel like this season, I think he could take that next step or get back to the form he was in and help us maybe contend for top four.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think Zielinski will be a big integrant role in Napoli's season, and if they want to get top four, I think you're gonna have to see Zielinski we saw yesterday. So yeah. Big result for Napoli and for Chet. I've been waiting to talk about Di Maria's Juventus debut for some time now since he signed. Di Maria made his debut. He looked incredible. Obviously, unfortunately, went down with injury at the end of it, but he played extremely well. I thought him and Vlahovic linked up very well. And that penalty, I don't want to get into it. That penalty given to Juventus was not even near a penalty. I couldn't believe what I saw. But Yeah, the officiating was not the best this opening match day, but when is it anyways? But yeah, Juventus deserved to win, played well. Di Maria, man of the match, of course. And yeah, I thought he was stunning, and he played well with Vlahovic. They linked up really well, like I said. But I think Di Maria is the type of player that you can link up well with Rugani if he was the striker. So yeah, I think Di Maria is that type of player. So great one for Juve, and Franchet, take it away.
Yeah, like Enzo said, this was a fantastic game going into it. I was a little bit nervous. I didn't know how Allegri was going to start off the year. There was reports that we were going to play a 3-5-2, which I was very keen on. There was reports we were playing a 4-4-2. So obviously before kickoff, I saw it was a 4-4-2, and I started to tremble a little knowing Allegri in his 4-4-2. But I was glad that Di Maria was playing up top instead of that right mid role. Quickly going into it, like Enzo said, Di Maria, he wasn't incredible. He was stunning. That the man made like magic come out of his feet. I feel like your attack was very stupid for Di Maria. Di Maria is too smart on the ball. The balls that he was bringing into the box, no one was expecting. And they would just look the ball go over and they realized, oh shit, I could have got that. And it happened a couple of times. So just seeing Di Maria's like vision on the field is just impeccable. And hopefully, as more training goes on, Di Maria could kind of show McKennie and show Vlahovic and show the attack, like, listen, I'm going to give you these impossible balls. You need to, like, understand when the ball's in there is going to you, so go to it. So we could get a couple of nice goals like that. But obviously, he scored on his debut. My God, a beautiful goal. I think I put in our soccer group chat. I was shaking after he scored that goal. Angel, it was such a beautiful moment for me. Alexandro, I think he was, I'm going to say he was the third best player on the, maybe fourth best, but he was very good, very impressed me very much. I think Enzo likes to argue that the Vlahovic was in a penalty, but that the first 5 minutes when Sandro was in the box, that was a very clear missed penalty, in my opinion. That wasn't called, but otherwise, he did very well this game, Sandro, and I really hope he could keep it up because we really need him to step up and show up for Juve this season. Vlahovic, he did what he needed to. I feel like there was some chances he could have scored and done better, and there were some chances Di Maria obviously gave him that he could have attacked better instead of just staying idle. But he did score that penalty, and then I scored that other goal assisted by Di Maria, which is a very beautiful finish. Other than that, I think we played all right. Our defense was incredible. I was very happy to see Bremer play well. I know the last time he played in a four-back formation, it was atrocious, but this time it looked more comfortable, more at home. So hopefully he could keep that up. Cuadrado, for me, was one of the worst players on the field. I just feel like he was invisible. He didn't do anything bad, but he didn't do anything good. It was kind of just there. And then Locatelli and Zaccaria, for me, were very poor. I felt like they just kept turning the ball over and giving Sassuolo some limelight to get that goal. But thanks to Perin, who for me was the third best player, I feel like it had to go Di Maria, Vlahovic, Perin, and then Sandro. I think he was very good and kept us in this game and very underrated for his performance against Sassuolo. But Locatelli and Zaccaria were very poor, and that needs to be fixed for next week. Because I feel like we're going to get stomped on by one of these teams if we continue that midfield atrocious performance. And hopefully Di Maria is okay. I know they said he's going to be reevaluated in the next 10 days. So I really pray that he's okay and it's nothing too serious. Enzo, that little idiot, jinxed it and kept saying, oh, he's going to get injured on his debut. He's going to get injured on his debut. And he hobbled off, and I called Enzo right away to share my opinions on it, but hopefully he is okay in the next 10 days.
I mean, yeah, no, impressive win from Juventus. I did call Di Maria getting injured, but it doesn't take a genius to predict that with him, judging by how his career has gone, but hopefully he does come back soon. Hopefully not soon after the Roma game, but, maybe the game after that, he can come back if he wants. But yeah, entertaining match day. There are some games we're going to touch up on real quick. Obviously, we go through every game. It might be a 2-3 hour podcast, but usually the first couple of match days, I like to touch on as many games as possible and get into more detail. And then as the season goes on, we start to, you know, prioritize certain games just so we don't give you guys too long of episodes every week. We know we want to make them digestible. So, yeah, games we can touch on that we didn't really get into much. Monza Torino, we'll get into. Anyone want to say anything about that?
Monza just looked poor. Torino were definitely the better team. I feel like Monza, they were the team that everyone was looking forward to coming from the Serie B, and they just failed to impress. And hopefully they wake up soon, because they have a lot of great talent on the team. But as of right now, they're just not clicking well, and we'll see how time progresses. But like I said, for me, Cremonese is the team to watch from the Serie B. And Monza is very, very disappointing so far.
I thought Monza the first half played okay. Again, they're a new team. I believe there was only two of the three starters in that lineup that were on their team in Serie B. So they're going to take time to gel, but I didn't think they played too bad the first half. But then once Torino got their goal, that was all Torino afterwards. And then Monza got that last minute goal that meant practically nothing. But, yeah, so they're going to be, I think, in the next 3 or 4 games, you'll see an improvement with Monza with the way they played. But, again, against Torino, they started off okay. But then once the game was going on, it was just Torino picking up the pace and Juric working his magic.
Yeah, no. Good one for Torino. And then there's also Spezia, Empoli. Anything you guys want to say about that one? Well, nothing went for Spezia.
Yeah, I just think that was a very scrappy game. I think Spezia were just the better team over Empoli. I don't think Empoli played too poor. And I don't think Spezia played too good. I just think it was just a very close match where Spezia just edged Empoli out.
Yeah, it's good.
I didn't watch that game, but I think that game was kind of like overshadowed with all the other games going on. But watching the highlights, Dragoski made some nice saves that kept Spezia the clean sheet. Empoli had a few chances here and there, but not really too much. It was a good goal by, I believe it was Nzola. I believe that's good. Yeah. That scored. It was a nice goal. That was good. Taken goal. And it was a big win for Spezia, especially because that's a team that I could see them competing with for the relegation spot. So to get the 3 points early on the season, it's a big boost for them.
Yeah, obviously it's hard to catch this one live just because there's so many games going on. But I did catch it last night about 2 a.m. I really didn't know what to do, so I was like, why not throw it on? I watched it. Oh, yeah, I actually thought Empoli was the better team. I thought they created the more dangerous chances, but... you know, Spezia were the more clinical, and Nzola had a great year last year, and he might continue that again because they scored here. So, yeah, big win for Spezia. That might be an important win when you look at the end of the year in terms of the relegation battle. This could be two teams within the same area. So, big win for Spezia there. And that wraps up our match day one recap. We recapped 8 matches in pretty big detail, longer episodes. It might be like just the first couple episodes of the season. Just like I said, I know people are excited to hear about their team, and we try to cover as many as we can without making the pods too long. And this will be my final pod for the next 2 weeks. I'll be going to Rome on Monday. So we might get our friend Joe, for those, you know, the OGs who were on this podcast a couple years ago. They used to listen to it the first year of the podcast. Joe was actually on the podcast for the first couple, I think, 2 or 3 months. And, yeah, so he's come on since then a couple times, but I'll try to get Joe on the next 2 episodes just so we have a third guy here. And, yeah, I'll get some content in Rome for everyone, maybe a reels from a Roma game, some stories of, you know, Italy in general. And I'll be going to Napoli most likely as well, it's looking like. So I'll get some content there too. Possibly Milano. I know it's a pretty big party city, so we'll see. And, yeah, no, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Well, they'll be back next week. I'll chat to you guys in a bit, a couple of weeks. And, yeah, check out the social media at Six Ad Calcio, Instagram and Twitter. And ciao.
Ciao. Okay.